The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mike Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Armchair Traveler. And for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the New York Times and Washington Post and National Geographic. Now, before we begin our journey on today's Armchair Traveler, please let me remind you that neither the North Carolina Reading Service nor I are endorsing any of the cruises, safaris, tours, or other travel itineraries that might be featured in the articles that we'll be reading. These are selected simply for your enjoyment and edification. Today on Armchair Traveler, we begin our journey featuring a story taken from the New York Times ongoing travel series, 36 Hours. In this series, various writers provide highlights and insights about what a person might be able to see and do while visiting a popular tourist stop during a weekend. Today, we're going to feature 36 Hours in Antwerp, Belgium. Now, it's written by Nina Siegel, who often covers European art and culture for the Times, and her article appeared in the January 2nd, 2025 issue of the New York Times. 5 centuries ago, the northern Belgian port city of Antwerp was a thriving European center of diamonds, art, and finance, with one of the world's first stock exchanges. Today, works by the Flemish master Peter Paul Rubens await those who wander its churches, and the city is one of the continent's edgiest fashion and design centers. Both its medieval and Baroque roots and perpetual reach for the new culminate at the Royal Museum of Fine Arts Antwerp, a neoclassical temple to both old masters and modern art, that reopened in 2022 after a decade-long renovation. The city is perfect for a weekend visit. Traverse its flat and walkable center, discovering Gothic masterpieces, Michelin-starred restaurants, design ateliers, wine bars, and too many shopping streets to count. And now, she does offer us, Nina Siegel, before the tour begins, some recommended key stops. One is St. Anna's Tunnel. It has wooden escalators built in the 1930s. They transport you to a pedestrian path that's about 100 feet under the Scheldt River, connecting its two banks. Then we have the St. Charles Borromeo Church. Now, it is filled from floor to ceiling with Baroque artworks, including an original Rubens altarpiece. And then we have the Café Restaurant Borja. Now, adorned with chandeliers and gilt-framed mirrors and with a spacious terrace on the Grand Market Square is a classic setting for Belgian dining. So, by the way, getting around Antwerp, she says, is relatively easy. Antwerp, a compact and flat city, and most attractions are right in the center of town, requiring walks of no more than 20 to 30 minutes between sites. If you do get tired, you can hop on a tram at €2.50 per trip, and all you need to do is swipe your bank card on a pass reader near the doors. Now, racks of bright red vintage-looking share bikes are in more than 300 locations around town, and you can rent them by purchasing a daily or a weekly pass via the Velo app, and it's €5 for 24 hours, €12 for a week. That sounds like a pretty good deal if you enjoy biking. Now, let's begin our 36-hour itinerary. It starts on a Friday afternoon at 2:30, and we're going to find solace in the city center. Rubens, actually born in Germany but later adopted by Antwerp as its artistic patron saint, died in 1640, but his presence is still felt today. The artist's former urban palazzo, the Rubenhuis, or Rubens House, which he purchased, which was at the height of his artistic powers and esteem, once housed an early 17th century painting atelier, where he and his studio assistants produced Baroque paintings seemingly as quickly as Andy Warhol's factory cranked out pop art screen prints. While it is unfortunately closed for renovations until 2027, his backyard gardens are open. Admission is €8. Stroll the cobblestone paths under trellises to observe some 17,500 plants surrounded by arched marble porticos decorated with neoclassical reliefs, statues, and busts to get a sense of the home's grandeur. It's 3:30 and it's time to see Rubens in situ. Now, while living in Antwerp from 1609 to 1621, Rubens painted some of his most monumental masterpieces for the city's churches. We're going to stroll to St. Charles Borromeo Church. The admission is €5, whose facade and tower Rubens helped design. Its ceiling once featured 39 Rubens paintings, which were destroyed in a 1718 fire caused by a lightning strike. You can still see his touching biblical scene, Return of the Holy Family, which returned to the church in 2017 after 240 years in other locations. Continue on to the Cathedral of Our Lady. Admission there is €12, and you'll see four of his major altarpieces. One is the Descent from the Cross, which the French Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte looted for his museum in Paris, later called the Louvre. After his defeat, Flemish masterpieces returned home to great fanfare, flanked by horses and soldiers. It's now 4:30, and we're going to spot some landmark shops. The crowds at the Meijer, Antwerp's central pedestrian mall, surrounded by Rococo mansions and chain stores, can be a bit of a headache, but its architectural gems set it apart. At its center is the monumental Stadtfestel shopping center with a large glass atrium and sculpted gold molding built in 1908 as a festival hall. It was restored after being ravaged by fire in 2000. A smaller treasure is the Jeanneret Boone, a family-owned shop since 1884, I should say, dedicated to handcrafted gloves of lamb skin, deer skin, and even ostrich leather, housed in built-in green drawers. Now, the luxury fashion brand Essentiel Antwerp, founded in 1999 by Esfan Estesade and Inga Onse, has three shops, including an outlet store in the center of town that sell contemporary pieces with patchwork, color-blocking neon flower prints, and playfully oversized hems and cuffs. So lots of trendy fashion stuff there, huh? 5:30, time to drink wine in a cast-iron archive. Still in the Meijer, grab a tipple on a quiet street, side street, at Het Archief Wine Bar. Hidden in a former 1850 library and archive constructed out of cast iron, featuring a metal spiral staircase with a corkscrew right up the middle. In this hideaway, you can rest your feet, enjoy a drink from an extensive wine and beer menu, and enjoy a snack of charcuterie or cheese. Wines of the day, €7 to €9 per glass, are scribbled on a chalkboard. The library shelves contain mostly cases of wine, but there are a few books left behind in case you feel inspired by your surroundings to catch up on your reading. 7 p.m., time for us to enjoy classic Belgian comfort food. Whether you're seated inside amid the chandeliers, maroon leather booths, and gilt-framed mirrors, or given a spot on the heated terrace on the Grand Mark Square, Café Restaurant Buella feels both cozy and timeless. Among the offerings on its vast menu of European brasserie fare, the hearty bouillabaisse boule at €35.50, filled with large mussels, chunks of fish and other shellfish, and accompanied by toast fingers and saffron-tinged roux, a French sauce pairs perfectly with a sturdy Belgian beer like the Trappist Chimay Bleu for €6.30, or a light Duval Ale for €5. You can book ahead, especially on Friday and Saturday nights, and note that the kitchen at Antwerp's is better restaurants close surprisingly early, I should say, some as early as 8:45 p.m. Now, there's the Fisk Bar in the Zud neighborhood. It's known for high-quality seafood platters heaped high with shrimp, whelks, periwinkles, crab legs, and langoustines. Now let's move on to Saturday. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. We're going to ride a wooden escalator beneath the river. Grab a coffee or fresh-squeezed juice at Me and My Monkey. How do you like that name? It's a small cafe decorated with antiques and vinyl records. Before a morning excursion to the left bank, the area across the Scheldt River from the city center. Now, from the square at Saint-Jephalah, enter Saint Anna's Tunnel. This is no admission charge. It still has authentic authentic wooden escalators built in 1933, and they deliver you about 100 feet, I should say, below the river, which bisects the city, to a pedestrian tunnel that offers a meditative walk through a 1,876-foot-long stretch of white ceramic tiles. Bikes are also allowed, and there's an elevator on each side as well. From the other side of the river, get a different vantage of the city skyline, including the medieval fortress Hietstein and the Cathedral of Our Lady's glorious steeple. 11 a.m. when we're going to wander an antique street as we continue our Saturday stroll. There's shopping for every budget on Antwerp's charming Kloosterstadt, a street filled with design shops, galleries, and vintage clothing stores. Find old globes and secondhand furniture at Blue Fonds, back issues of French and Dutch magazines and newspapers, and porcelain figurines at the Knick-Knack Shop. And this is Kurkhus Antique and Contemporary Scandinavian homewares at Espoo. Now, if you're feeling spendy, check out the jewelry at the Teeny Design Shop, Mass Lee Jewelry, or the sun-drenched corner at the gallery, Ducacolet Fine Arts, which sells original paintings by Belgian modernists such as Philippe Swinkop and Marcel Gillis. Okay, it's 1 p.m., time to hook a catch and then a book. Shellfish, a central feature of Belgian cuisine, is the star at Fisk Bar in the Zuid neighborhood, a restaurant known for high-quality seafood platters. At a lunch priced €41 to €171, heaped high with shrimp, whelks, periwinkles, crab legs, and langoustines. It also offers a whole catch of the day, which servers present to guests for approval before cooking. Now, you can look ahead. It's a local favorite. Around the corner, find a lovely hole-in-the-wall bookshop and cafe, Cosimo Bocandil. The literary haven is also home to an independent book publisher, Cosimo, which produces its own life volumes of forgotten classics by authors like Soseki Natsumi, Luigi Pirandello, and Charlotte Gherkins Gilman in Dutch translations. 3 p.m., and we're going to move on to an art fix for this Saturday afternoon stroll. Head to the city's art temple, the Royal Museum of Fine Arts Antwerp, known locally as KMSKA, which reopened in 2022 after a €100 million 11-year renovation to become two museums in one. A white box showcase of modernist art in addition to galleries dedicated to old masters. In the Rubens Gallery from now until 2027, visitors can watch a live restoration of the painter's altarpiece, enthroned Madonna adored by saints, as conservators examine and clean the work in front of the public. The museum is also hosting a major retrospective of the Belgian-British painter James Ensor, whose expressionist depictions of crowds and masquerades are haunting, and this continued through January 19th of this year. Now, the plan to devote at least 2 hours to your visit, though you could spend all day there. It's open till 6 p.m. on Saturdays, the admission €20. Now it's 7 p.m. on a Saturday evening, time to dine in the spotlight. Reserve a table in the minimalist modern album in Zud, run by the chef Jerlis Jelling and the host Toon Crane, for five courses of seasonal dishes plated with high contrast visuals and meticulous precision. Among the options you may see on your dramatically spotlit marble table, tender scallops submerged in peach-colored foam made with celerac and vin jaune, a white wine with a slightly nutty flavor, or barbecued chicken with pureed sweet corn, bathed in a dark umber mole sauce. Now, dessert may be a cardamom-spiced mandarin ice cream topped with whipped cream and bits of Belgian white chocolate. Now, it's €78 per person, plus €45 with a wine pairing. Time to move on to Sunday, and we're going to get a start at 10 a.m. Glimpse a Grand Exchange is the start of the day. One of Antwerp's architectural jewels is its former stock exchange. Handelsboer Antwerpen originally opened as a Gothic temple to commerce in 1532. It suffered fire damage in the 19th century, but was rebuilt in a neo-Gothic style to hark back to its original grandeur. In 1997, exchange activity relocated to Brussels, and the building fell derelict. But it was restored again in 2019 and now serves as a festive event location. On the weekends, visitors can wander through the open space for free and marvel at the hand-painted 16th century maps on the wall. And through this last January, visitors were able to book a ticket to Enlightenment, which was a light show set to the music of Vivaldi's Four Seasons, and it was €14. I bet that was a lot of fun. Well, it's 10:30 a.m. now, and it's time to roam the market. Antwerp is home to one of the oldest live bird markets in Europe, the Vogelenmarkt, which, since the 16th century, has been a prime trading location for birds like carrier pigeons, hens, and canaries, all that will come to an end in 2026 when live animal markets are outlawed. Most of the bird stalls have been shuttered, but you can still glimpse a few. The market, which spans the Theraplein, the main square of the theater district and surrounding streets, is a lively spot for trinket and grocery shopping. You can also eat breakfast or brunch from the many food trucks there. If you're a culinary adventurer, you might want to try a truly Antwerp delicacy, caracolien or whelks, sold at the market at the stall Caracol d'Anvers. And it's served in steaming cups of broth and eaten with a toothpick, and that's all for €5. 11:30 a.m., almost at the end of our tour of Antwerp, but remember, don't forget your chocolates. If you'd prefer to sit down or sit down brunch, let's go to Barnini's. It's a spacious 1970s-style cafe that serves bagel sandwiches starting at €6, waffles and indulgent hot chocolate drinks, one made with speculoos, a gingerbread-flavored spice mix for €4.50. Now, before you leave Antwerp, stock up on edible souvenirs at the Chocolate Line, a boutique chocolatier in the former kitchen of the 18th century Palace on the Mire, once home to Napoleon and decorated with gilt mirrors, frescoes, and chandeliers. The shop was founded by Dominique Persson, who pioneered unusual ingredients in chocolate like wasabi, smoked eel, and bacon, and now runs the business with his wife and son. Find chocolate lipstick and other novelty edibles along with more approachable pralines and truffles, and the boxes start at €19. Well, my friends, I hope you've enjoyed your tour, weekend tour, that is, of Antwerp. You know, for many years now, people have been posting reviews of products and other offerings on the Internet. And often these include stars, one star for not so good to five stars for stellar or almost that good. Well, recently, the Washington Post let veteran travel writer Andrea Sachs prepare an article headlined "One-Star Reviews of World-Class Museums." It felt more like an airport. Now, get the fact is this is the one-star reviews, okay? Sachs and the By the Way Travel Section staff at the Post carefully screened and then voted for the best of these one-star reviews. And this article appeared in the June 4th, 2025 issue of the Washington Post, and it was a lot of fun, I think. And it says here, travelers gripe about suffocating crowds, bathroom lines, amateur art, and food they deemed underwhelming. So, by the way, there were illustrations featured by Katie Huertas of the Washington Post. And let's begin Andrea's article now. If art really imitates life, then the masterpieces at many of the world's most renowned museums should depict long lines, jam-packed galleries, dirty bathrooms, rude employees, and miserable visitors. Iconic cultural institutions from Cairo to Paris to New York have earned a permanent slot on sightseeing itineraries. But popularity does not always equal impeccable performance. On review sites such as TripAdvisor and Yelp, travelers gripe about all aspects of the museum experience, from the chaotic ticketing and queuing arrangements at the Louvre to the undrinkable coffee and inedible chips and dip at the Museum of Modern Art in New York. Now, overcrowding is one of the biggest complaints, a downside to the rebound in visitation after the height of the coronavirus pandemic. According to a 2024 survey by the American Alliance of Museums, AAM, half of the 464 respondents, all AAM members, have fully recovered or exceeded their pre-pandemic attendance levels. In the United Kingdom, the Association of Leading Visitor Attractions ranked the British Museum as the most visited site last last year, with nearly 6.5 million guests, an increase of about 240,000 from 2019. About 9 million people annually walk through the doors of the Louvre, and 2020 is excluded. That was obviously the year the pandemic struck, causing some major stoppages for a moment. In all fairness, the majority of reviewers post glowing remarks. There are also strategies for ensuring an exceptional experience. Natanya Kashan, an AAM spokesperson, recommends using the advanced ticketing systems, avoiding the busiest times of the day or week, and visiting museums that cap the number of entries. That's a good option for people who can't be in a hyper-stimulated or overcrowded space but really want to see the museum, Kashin said. But you can't please everyone, so we've scoured TripAdvisor and Yelp for some of the best one-star reviews, and these are excerpts from the winners. You're going to love this. We begin with the Louvre in Paris. You can't see anything. You can just struggle for air and exit. And this was from 432 Dejanam in April 2025. And keep this in mind, all these came before the stoppage. Remember on Sunday, as I record this, I believe that would have been Sunday the 15th, the Louvre staff went on strike because they felt over-tourism, understaffed, and too many people going through the Louvre causing problems. So you probably heard about those stories, and we'll have more on that in a future episode. We continue now with these one-star reviews about the Louvre. It felt more like an airport than a place to enjoy culture, and this was from Gizzard Face, February 2025. Bad organization, one bathroom for 3,000 visitors, dirty, no directions, surface security checks, Wi-Fi connection non-existent, employees unable to speak English, bad museum, from Daniela De Salvo Pavoni of Italy, February 2025. And then we have the glass pyramid as an eyesore and doesn't match the architecture. Shame on them. Toilets filthy. Sandwich at cafe was really good. Never again. Makes you angry with the millions they make. They cannot move lines like they do at Disneyland. Div L of California wrote this in March 2024. My ultimate tip for this place, look for air conditioning vents on the floor. They're brass-looking vents. Just find them. Stay on top of them. Enjoy. That's Nathan Kay of Chicago. He wrote that in August of 2023. Then we have the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City, sometimes called MoMA. Nowhere to sit down, cloakrooms with an attitude. And this was written by Anti Ragby 582 of London in October 2024. And then the Museum of Modern Art in New York City. Honestly, the art display is so avant-garde that it's not art. It's paper bags and well-placed chairs, some other shovel and bicycle wheel. Honestly, I would pay for 100 museums in Europe before this one. This was written by Lucia V. of Spain in January 2025. Now, if you want to end the afternoon with a pit in your stomach the size of a black hole and an utter hatred of humanity, I recommended a visit to MoMA. This is Natalie V, written in July of 2023. These are some pretty harsh criticisms, are they not? Well, anyway, we move on to the British Museum in London. I have no idea what the museum is like, as I am still in queue, that is, still in line, despite having booked a timed entry ticket. This was Amy of the United Kingdom back in May 2025. Then we have the Grand Egyptian Museum in Cairo. Worst scam ever. €34 to see a staircase with 15 statues. Yes, I counted them. And three unimportant sarcophagus of minor kings and queens. This is Riccardo Sabadini of Rome, May 2024. Then we have the Sheikh Huang Mausoleum Museum in Beijing. Nothing more to see other than people made of clay. I don't recommend it. And this is Puneet Mehra, who wrote it in May 2019. Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston got this review. Silly Walmart-like chrysanthemum display in sunken garden area. Just a sad mishmash of objects pilfered by a bored aristocrat with daddy's money to burn. Skip it. Written by Henny 855 of Massachusetts in December 2023. Then we have the National Museum of American History in Washington, D.C. There was one room that was just an assortment of junk. It ranged from a and spell to one of the Muppets. Really, a Muppet. Donnie C. in Indianapolis, wrote this in September 2019. On to the Field Museum in Chicago. If you like evolution, dinosaur skeletons, taxidermy, and preservation of animals, fossils, and ancient Egyptian mummies and artifacts, you're going to like this place. We don't. Allison H. of Indiana wrote that in June 2024. The exhibits are like a dark maze. Think IKEA, but with a way less lighting. I really don't recommend this museum if you love animals, have asthma, or claustrophobia. Allison P. wrote that review in Indianapolis. She's from Indianapolis and wrote it in April 2024. Then we have the Los Angeles County Museum of Art. A total waste of time to drive up from Orange County to see this. The only thing somewhat interesting was album covers of music that many have at home. And this was written by C.C. Bills fan in May 2021. Now, San Francisco Museum of Modern Art got this one-star review. Half the paintings are just some person scribbling with no meaning. Written by Go Places. 513-551-81444. He wrote that in June 2024. I felt like I was being served prison food. In fact, I've never seen any self-respecting organization sell such awful stuff. The museum doesn't sell meals anymore. Now they sell expensive dog food to people who are visiting from out of town. Written by Ron L. in July 2021. Well, Galleria dell'Accademia, Florence, Italy. Stick to the copy of David exhibited in the open air in front of the town hall. It's the size of the original, and above all, it's free. Pascal B. wrote this review in October 2023. And then we have the Palace Museum, Beijing, undoubtedly the worst tourist attraction I've visited in the world, likened more to a conveyor belt being pushed through at a chuck raffle, with nothing to see other than a bunch of old dilapidated wooden buildings, definitely a money grab on all fronts. Nomad Traveler of Australia wrote that review in August 2019. It is forbidden, it seems, to enter. This was written by Ellipse of Johannesburg, South Africa, in April 2024. And we've gotten several reviews for our final stop, El Prado Museum of Madrid. You have to queue up 30 minutes for a bottle of water, 45 minutes to access toilets. Just horrible. How can you even dare call this a museum? Flo from Spain wrote this one in January 2025. I would never come here again. They do not let you take photos of anything within the museum, not even the information boards next to artifacts or paintings, wrote Rebecca Bonassini of Malta, and that was written in November 2024. We did not see everything as we eventually got bored and decided to bail on this place, again referring to El Prado Museum, Madrid. What is worthwhile is in a nearby park, and that's Kyle F. from Dallas, Texas, and wrote that in 2024. And those are the winners of the best one-star reviews of favorite tourist spots written by veteran travel writer Andrea Sachs of the Washington Post. And can you imagine the comments from those who perhaps decided not to give any stars? Think about that. So the next time you look at those reviews or read them on the Internet, check out those one-star reviews if you really want to get the down-and-under picture of how bad things could be at some favorite tourist spots. Well, my friends, that's going to bring us to the end of today's Armchair Traveler. We hope you've enjoyed it and that you'll be with us again next time. And we remind you that the show is... The content is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Armchair Traveler is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. I'm Mike Edwards, and I've been reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, and remind you that if you have any comments or questions, you may call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and we'll see you next time. In the meantime, have a great journey as we continue on.